Today, in your scripture lesson, we'll turn back to the Gospel according to St. John. And this will be John chapter 6, beginning with verse 14. The Gospel according to St. John, John chapter 6, beginning with verse 14. Hear now these words. When the people saw the sign they had done, they began to say, "This is indeed the prophet who has come into the world." When Jesus realized they were about to come and take him by force, make him king, he withdrew again to the mountain by himself. When evening came, his disciples went down to the sea, gone to the boat, and started across the sea to Capernaum. It was now dark, and Jesus had not yet come to them. The sea became rough because a strong wind was blowing. When they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea coming near the boat, and they were terrified. But he said to them, "It is I. Do not be afraid." Then they wanted to take him into the boat, and immediately the boat reached the land to which they were going. My friends, this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. And so for the past few weeks, we've been in the Gospel according to St. John, following the signs of Jesus. In John's Gospel, there are 7 great miracles that Jesus performs, and he calls these signs. And we've had several so far. We looked at turning water into wine, and the healing of a father's son from a distance, the healing by the man by the pool. We saw last week how Jesus fed at least 5,000 people with a boy's lunch. And that miracle leads into this sign. So after he feeds these 5,000 people, and last week we determined that'd be at least 3 Central High School graduations plus 500 more folks, that does not go unnoticed. And verse 14 says, when the people saw the sign he had done, they begin to say, "This is indeed the prophet who has come into the world." Now, if you go back to the book of Deuteronomy, there's a section there where Moses tells the people, "The Lord will send you another prophet." Now, and so there's always this talk about, when will this prophet show up? And you may recall how earlier in John's Gospel, there's a point where John the Baptist, when he's being questioned, "Are you Elijah? No. Are you the prophet? No. Are you the Messiah? No." And I'm like, "Who are you then?" You know? And so there's this belief that a great prophet would show up, like Moses. And then the people connect the dots here and went, "Wait a minute. Jesus is that prophet." Because remember, when they were out, the Hebrew people had left Egyptian slavery and were in the wilderness. They got hungry, and God fed them with bread from heaven, right? Manna. Manna means what is this? And so when Jesus feeds these people with bread, they're thinking, "Wait a minute. This happened one time before when Moses miraculously fed the people of Israel." So like, this is the prophet. And when Jesus realized they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, he withdrew to the mountain by himself. Now, it's very important that Jesus did not want people to confuse him with another kingly ruler. He did not come into this world to be another Alexander the Great, to be a Julius Caesar, to be a King David, to be Muhammad, a great spiritual leader and warrior. He didn't come to do any of that. That's human history. He came down for a divine purpose, to be crucified, buried, and resurrected on the third day. And that's why on Good Friday, at his trial, Jesus could tell Pontius Pilate, "My kingdom is not of this world." In other words, "Pontius Pilate, you serve the Roman Empire, a kingdom of this world. My kingdom is not like that. It's a spiritual kingdom. It's not won by swords and bloodshed." And so when Jesus saw that he's about to get drafted to be a king, he took off. I'm reminded how in our own U.S. history, Remember how at the end of the Revolutionary War, people wanted George Washington to be a king. Remember that? And he said, no. And he said, do you really think I fought a war for all these years against one King George to turn around and become another King George? And he went to the Continental Congress and resigned from the military and retired. And when the word got over to England, to London, and King George III read this, he said, if this is true, he's the greatest man alive. Because what other general would win a war and then turn down the opportunity to be a king, right? People don't do that. Napoleon sure didn't do that. George Washington did. And here Jesus is like, no, I'm not here to be a king in that sense. And so he goes off to the mountain by himself. Well, the evening comes, and so the disciples get on the boat. They start across the Sea of Capernaum, and it was dark, and Jesus had not yet come to them. And then it tells us how the sea became rough because a strong wind was blowing, and they would row about 3 or 4 miles. They saw Jesus walking on the sea, coming near the boat, and they were terrified. Now, I'm going to tell you a little bit and steal from some of the other Gospels, so they give some details not mentioned in John's account. You may recall in their Gospels, when they see Jesus, the first thing they think of is a ghost, okay? So even way back then, we had ghost stories, okay? That's not something we just made up in the past few years. You know? And so they thought, oh my goodness, it's Jesus' ghost. Something happened to him, and now we see his spirit hovering across the waters. And it's interesting how when things are dark and such, you let your imagination get away from you. And I remember one time watching one show where the psychologist did a little experiment. He took folks and he says, I'm going to take you to a place that's been haunted. And he talked to them about it and said, if you see anything suspicious, just click your flashlight zone. Now, what they didn't know was the place wasn't haunted. He just made that up. And they got out there, and folks started flashing lights. What's going on? They said, well, I felt this cool breeze blow by, and I heard something, you know. Well, that was all true, but it was in their imagination, right? And then my favorite story about people getting scared about the water is an experiment some scientists did over in England. Down in London, they were at the bridge, and they put a log in the water, and it had it set up where it would come out of the water every so often. And folks saw it and didn't think anything about it. Well, then they did the same experiment a little further north up in Scotland at a place called Loch Ness. And that same log coming in and out of the water. And guess what happened? Did you see that? What was that? I bet that was a Loch Ness monster, you know. No, it was the same old log, right? But everybody's imagination was playing with them. And so here's disciples, it's dark and it's stormy, and you know, and so their imaginations didn't fear, and then they see Jesus. You know, and in my translation it says, it is I, do not be afraid. You know, when you read the actual Greek, Jesus says, I am, do not be afraid. Now, if you're a good Jewish person, you should know when you hear the phrase, I am, that's the phrase that God gave Moses way back in the book of Exodus, remember? When the Lord is talking to Moses and says, Moses, I got a job for you, you know, out of the burning bush. I want you to go down to Egypt, tell Pharaoh, let my people go. And for the next few chapters, Moses argues back and forth with God about why he's not qualified to do this. And then towards the end, Moses says, well, Lord, you know, the people want to ask the Egyptians' gods have names. What's your name? And the Lord tells Moses, I am that I am. Tell them the I am has sent you. And so when Jesus says, I am, do not be afraid, that's not just any phrase he's throwing out. He is invoking deity. He is saying, I am God. I am the God that Moses spoke to in the burning bush. And then we also know from their Gospels that one disciple has something to say off the bat, our good old friend Simon Peter. And he says, Lord, if it's you, ask me to come out of the water. Now, I think Peter was thinking fast enough of that's really Jesus. And if he tells me to come out of the water, that means I have to walk on water, you know. Now, Peter's a fisherman. He knows that you don't play around in the ocean, on lakes, right? You could drown easily. You know, I mean, there's no life vest, any of that. So I have a lot of respect for Peter at this point, you know. And so Jesus says, well, come on out here, Peter. And so Peter takes that step. Now, you know that they're living inside of his thinking, this is not going to end well, right? He's going to get wet. He's going to drown, perhaps. But Jesus, Peter steps out, and then he's walking on the water, just like you and I walk out here on this asphalt, on down this country road, okay? And Peter is doing great. But he makes a mistake. He turns his eyes off of Jesus and begins to look at the waves. It's almost like he just realized what he just did. And when he does that, what happens? Down he goes. And as he's sinking down, he says, Lord, save me. And so Jesus has to reach down his hand and grab him and pull him up. You know, and says, now, why did you doubt me? Now, and one of the things I've always said about this church building is that if we had the prettiest stained glass windows there are, and look in the my right hand corner, in the back, you see we have a stained glass window of Jesus reaching down to Peter, pulling him up. Now, what about us in our lives? Do you have your eyes on Jesus, or you have your eyes on the circumstances? Now, when you watch the news, you can drive yourself crazy. You turn on the news and you think, oh my word, North Korea's misbehaving. Russia's invaded Ukraine. It's turned to a mess. The Chinese sending balloons across the ocean. The price of eggs going up. We may not get baby formula. No, and the big news this past week has been the banks again, right? Too big to fail. And this bank went bust out in Silicon Valley. And this bank's in trouble. And this bank's on the edge, you know. And folks are getting worried, like, oh, no, here we go again, back in 2008. You know, and then we've got worries about inflation, foreign policy, you know, what's going on with it. But, you know, guys, there's always going to be something going on in our society, isn't there? Every time it gets quiet, just hold your breath, something else will come on. This is how human history is. And so when you start looking at this and looking at that, and thinking, oh my goodness, look at the Chinese, look at the North Koreans, look at the inflation, the unemployment, oh, how's the stock market? Oh, the stock market looks terrible. There goes my retirement. My bank went under, you know. All of that would drive you crazy. Yeah. And part of it is because the news media builds that up because people turn in and listen to it. Yeah. And think about a few years ago, it was COVID was the big news, right? Yeah. And we have resurgences every once in a while. And when you do that, you will sink like a rock in the waters. Down you go. You can't but look at the world. You got to look at the Lord. And there's a painting I really like that has the prophet Daniel in the lion's den. And I remember Pastor Charles Stanley from the First Baptist Church in Atlanta talking about when he was a young pastor. A lady in his congregation who was an older lady, a nurse, went to lunch with him, then invite him up to her apartment and show him that painting and says, Pastor, tell me what you see. And he said, well, I see Daniel, and I see the red lion, and I see the lions, and he just went on, I see the bones. And she said, is that all you see? He said, yes, man, that's all I see. And she put her arm around him and said, son, what I want you to see is Daniel's not looking at the lions, he's looking at God. When Peter was looking at the waves, he took his eyes off of Jesus. And that's what got him in trouble. You know, there's a hymn about, you know, turn your eyes upon Jesus and look full upon his wondrous face. And the things of this world will grow dim in the light of his beauty and grace. Yeah. And today, during our hymns and songs, you know, I kind of played up on that theme a little bit. You know, when Jesus had to reach out, grab Peter. Now, Peter had to lean on the everlasting arm, right? Now, a little while ago, acapella, talking about how the river right at I stand, guide my feet, hold my hand, precious Lord, take my hand. You know, and so if we get in a situation, we get scared and we're sinking, we got to be like old Peter and say, Lord, save me. And Jesus and his goodness will reach out and grab us by the hand and pull us up. You know, there's another song called When He Reached Down His Hand for Me, and it reached way down for me. I was lost and undone without God or his son when he reached way down for me. And that's a hymn, you know, for a person who was not saved. And for a Christian, you know, ours should be more of, precious Lord, take my hand. Lord, forgive me. I was busy looking at my circumstances and took my eyes off of you. And when I took my eyes off of you, I began singing like a rock. Reach out your hand, Lord, and take me by the hand. Lead me on. And so, Jesus grabs her by the hand and gets him back in the boat. And now you can imagine this. Here's Jesus, perfectly dry. And there's old Peter, soaking wet. And that goes to our last hymn we're going to sing here in a little bit. Love lifted me, right? You might be in a mess. You say, I'm not up to my neck. It's over my head at this point in the waters. Well, that's fine. Call to Jesus, and he'll be glad to put his hand in the water and grab you by the hand and pull you up. Put your feet on the boat. Get you to safety. So my question for you this morning is, where is your attention at? Are you watching the news and you're worried about this and that and what you saw on social media and what you heard on the radio and what you heard on TV and what your friends told you? If you do that, you'll sink like a rock. Or do you have your eyes on the Lord, on Jesus, and say, you know what? He'll take care of us. The world may go crazy. I may feel like I'm sinking. But as long as I got my eyes on Jesus and I got my hand in his hand, everything's going to be fine. He's got me under control. You know, it's not about whether I got things under control. It's about the fact that he has things under control. So my prayer is this morning that all of us will always keep our eyes on Jesus. And when we do that, when the darkness comes, the storms come, we won't be afraid. Hand in hand, we can walk with Jesus. Thanks be to God. Amen. All right.